Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of three times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes. Stress is the inflammation that robs us of life, energy, and happiness. Our typical solutions for gut health and hormone balance have let a lot of us down. We're over-medicated and underserved. At The Less Stressed Life, we're a community of health-savvy women exploring solutions outside of our traditional Western medicine toolbox and training to raise the bar and change our stories. Each week, our hope is that you leave our sessions inspired to learn, grow, and share these stories to raise the bar in your life and home. I want to take a quick minute to tell you a couple things that I'm really excited about that are happening right now. First, something that weighs really heavy on my heart is burnout potential. Everyone is so good at go, 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 Glutark technology that we often just need to stop, rest, and reset. So I'm thrilled to announce Reset in Sedona, a restorative wellness retreat for women craving good food and adventure. Now, I have a lot of feelings about how retreats are non-negotiable, and I've been practicing for this for years, attending and hosting other private retreats. So if an intentional reset to fill your cup sounds good to you, you can head to the show notes to find the link for Reset in Sedona or go to kristabigler.com/resetinsedona. And the second is that I'm currently taking intercalls for clients to start in the new year. I work with people that feel like they're doing everything right in health, but still have food sensitivities, subpar energy and mental focus, gut issues, and eczema. I help them with a sustainable way to eliminate symptoms and feel their best using testing, synergistic nutrient repletion, and supporting several major systems in the body for balance. You can go over to kristabigler.com/FSS. Both links will be in the show notes. And now back to the show. All right, today on The Less Stress Life, I am joined once again by my co-pilot in practice, the other RD that works behind the scenes with clients. She and I share our client loads. Actually, this is the whole point of this conversation part of it is like, how do we support one-on-one burning without burning out? We divide and conquer a little bit, but a whole lot of other things we're going to unwrap for you today. So Jenna is going to be a co-host with me. She's going to help interview. We're going to be going through how we support clients, our one-on-one clients without burning out. One of the things that we know is that there is a need for high quality one-on-one work for people to do good work that's not trashy, templated work, cookie cutter crap out there. And so we feel actually really committed and called to it, but it doesn't come without cost. It is actually a lot of work to work with people. I think anyone who works with people can be very drained. I always tell our clients, like, don't be mad at your provider. They want to make a difference in the world. That's why they became a doctor or whatnot, but they're probably struggling with adrenal function as well. And they may not have the tools in their toolbox to deal with it because conventionally, we just don't have a lot of good tools in our toolbox to deal with adrenal dysfunction, which is a whole different thing. Oh, and Jenna brought up that on episode 243 of the Less Stress Life podcast, we had Dr. Tammy Chang, who was a pediatric oncologist and hematologist, which is heavy. That's heavy. And she actually has pivoted and now works with burned out MDs, I think, primarily. And on that podcast, she talked about how 76% of providers are burned out. So this is a topic I really care about, the end. Like, I am actually unnaturally obsessed with this topic in a good way. I think it's really important that people are not crispy, that they're not burned out, because you can't do good work when you're burned out. So in this episode, we're going to unpack the steps that were taken in our practice to not be burned out and how we regularly evaluate that. I don't know if we'll get through every single detail of what we do. I think there's a lot we could unpack here, but one of the things I want to start doing on the podcast, on the channel, this will be on YouTube as well, is that we want to just start being generous with clinical pearls and things that we've found in practice or that really work well for us, because I think that success leaves clues. And if we can help someone else be less burned out, then we're making a difference in the world. Welcome, Jenna. Thank you for co-hosting, for interviewing with me again the second week in a row. And where do we want to start?
Yeah, so maybe you could talk about, because you were just sharing with me a message you got from another clinician just wanting to chat about burnout and even just working with clients, what that can sometimes lead.
Yeah, for sure. And part of, I would say this just made this episode feel even more necessary. Last week, we announced something that I've been wanting to do and practicing to do for years, which is host retreats. I think retreats are an essential piece, and this episode is not about that. But I think retreats are an essential part of not being burned out personally. Retreats are just a place where you go away, reset, reconnect, and there's different outcomes for each retreat. I've hosted a ton of different types of them. So I'm really excited about doing this wellness retreat for women who like good food and adventure. But also there's a big mix of nervous system stuff in there. And I had another clinician reach out to me and I asked her what she wanted to get out of the retreat. And she said, I want to learn how to like people again. And there were several other things she said. And part of my practice feels stuck in helping people understand the connection between stored emotion and disease. And how can I help people be okay in their feelings? And I was like, what an interesting, there's a lot of cool stuff to unpack there. And I'm like, I could have written not very long ago, honestly. And I have a lot of feelings about it, which I won't fully unpack here, but been there. Because when you are really burned out, you just want to kind of climb in a hole. And our tendency is to numb. My tendency was to numb, like just scroll. So if you feel seen there, then great. You're probably good. Let's keep talking about this. One thing I would say for her is the farther you get along in health stuff or healthcare, I feel, the more you realize that stress is such a big piece of it, which is why it's so serendipitous and weird that I named the podcast back in 2017, The Less Stressed Life. I was just using a word that was a synonym for inflammation. And how did I know that it was going to come so full circle in so many different ways, right? And we'll talk about what that means, like how we incorporate stress and nervous system stuff in the practice, because it's like we can fill in the mineral depletions all we want, which we talked about on the last episode. But if you don't correct how you're running on cortisol, then it actually doesn't shift that much and you just have to keep doing it forever. It sucks. It's like a thing that has to click inside. So one thing I said to her is there is a point where it's like you have to decide, is this in my scope of practice? And is it my responsibility to take care of someone's nervous system for them? And that's not a cop out. It's just like, sometimes you have to be okay with what you can provide to people and what you are not providing to people at this time, even if you want to grow. And that's actually where I am, is I have tools I use for nervous system in my practice. I don't have everything. I wasn't trained in that way initially, right? I find so much fulfillment in the things we do for nervous system, and we'll talk more about that. But I don't have every tool in the toolbox, and that's okay. Because there's a lot, and most of them aren't regulated, meaning not like nervous system regulation. It's like when we think about our nervous system, the thing we're most familiar with is I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to go to talk therapy. Like, this is what people are common. Like, it's like, yep, I recognize it. It's almost like blood work. When we talk about labs, it's like, yep, I understand blood work, right? People understand therapy, but there's actually a lot of other tools and modalities. However, and I'm not saying it should be regulated, it's kind of wild west. Like, you don't know if you're going to go see someone and that modality is going to work. And or it's like our last episode we talked about, I can tell you what test I use, but there's also a kind of a disservice to doing that, because sometimes people go order the test and then they're not really having it interpreted right. And I was having this conversation with someone I'm having come in to do some coaching with our clients. And she does a type of modality, and people can go do like pretend certification. Well, whatever. They can do these certifications for like $10 online. That's not the same as someone who's gone to do like over a month, much more than a month of in-person training and now trains clinicians, right? So they're kind of a Wild West aspect. And so I can't unwrap all of those pieces. But what's cool is one beautiful thing is we have longer term, maybe that's something we should jump into next. We have a midterm, long term, like we don't have a really short term relationship with clients. They're not going to come in and have one appointment with us and be over. That's just not how we function, because everyone knows that doesn't work. And so we have at least enough of a relationship with our clients so we can have conversations like this, which is the beautiful thing, because usually this isn't going to come up on the first or second. If the conversation is, I want to help someone understand the connection between emotion stored in the body, that may not come up on the first or second consult, at least not the way we operate, because we're usually like jumping into labs, but it may come up in other conversations. It may come up in some of the other touch points we do with clients. and may come up later on when I see them. I'm like, hey, have you thought about this thing? Let me show you this chart and how this can be. And how do you feel about that? What do you think about? Like, what do you think or what do you feel about that? Are you open to that? I know that I'm not really the person who's going to help you necessarily move that out of the body. I do technically, the one of the modalities we use can move emotions, but I'm not going to pretend to be an all moving person at this point. So I don't know if that helped, but that was a message I got last week that just reminded me that we're all dealing with the same stuff in our practice and we have more in common than we do apart. Definitely. or than we don't.
And I think it's huge to recognize, like, as again, you noted, practitioners, we want to help people, like, but also recognizing what's in our scope of practice. Do we need to refer possibly? Or if we do want to like expand our toolbox or how we serve people, at what point, yeah, are we best set up for success doing that? And that kind of leads into what are the two questions you ask whenever you're looking to create something new or you feel that's going to help you create or expand upon your current offerings. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's always, it's exciting when you want to expand, do something new, but it also can be a little intimidating because it's like, do I have the capacity at the moment to expand to so you just create something new? Like creation is its own thing in and of itself.
Totally,
so yeah, I would just love your thoughts on this.
Yes. And to speak to something that you just said, which is like when you're trying to make a decision on who to refer out to, this all kind of culminates into one place. I'll just use a personal story. I got my mineral analysis results done, I think in 2020. And it showed I was not in great shape mineral-wise. Like I had depleted them under stress. And that was a little bit of a wake-up call. I was open to it, but it was a little bit of a wake-up call. Around the same time, I have this friend, and I very much respect her in the personal development and coach space. Now, I hate the word life coach personally, because again, sometimes there's certain words that give us connotations. I know this woman. I trust her. I said, I am going to work with you. We're going to do this life coaching thing. Even I hate calling it that. I call it like mental drama work because we all have it. The way her program was set up was 6 months every single week, hour call. And I was like, I don't actually really have time for this, which is nervous system red flag 101. I don't really have time to worry this, but I'm not going to be a pain in the ass. I'm going to follow your lead. You're the expert in this area. We're going to go ahead and meet, even though I think it's too much. And so I meet with her. And it's so funny because every single week there was something just taking up rent-free space in my brain that she just mathematically fixed with the cognitive behavioral triangle model. Like she was just very skilled at putting the thought into place and like helping me course correct. And the result of that process was that I became a different person to the point where my colleagues, like the girls that I had grown up with in functional medicine, like we worked together for this celebrity influencer back in like 2016. And then we've kind of just been going on trips and conferences together ever since. And they're like, you have changed. And I started talking slower throughout that process and a lot of other nutritional interventions. Like I was able to replete my minerals actually, but I felt a visceral change in my nervous system, in my heart, in my body. And I desperately wanted to give that to people, but I can't give them that. Like that's not up to me to give that, to bestow that. I can try to explain that a little bit, like in a nutshell. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to talk about it right here, but I can explain it to them. But in transparency, I can't refer. She's not the right fit for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And it was $10,000 to work with her. That's not accessible to a lot of people. And to be honest, it like also gave me a slight coronary, right? At the time, right? And so it's all fine and dandy and whatever. But my is like, it's hard to know who to refer to. So sometimes I would bring these experts in to my practice and have them do guest change sessions with my clients. But referring people to other good clinicians to help them with nervous system work is still an area of opportunity for us mm-hmm. to where I don't have the absolute robust referral network. Like I don't have someone I can refer every single person to. So your question was, if we're going to create something, what are the two questions we asked? And to be honest, these questions came out of my work with this coach. She actually only asked me the first. I talked about this on the interview with Nick Pags about last month, which was like the power of good questions. I shared this story a little bit. But essentially, I remember as we do in business, let me tell you the problem. I'm like, I'm working all the time. I'm like burning out. I love serving my clients in this way, but this isn't sustainable. Like this, there is like a clear burn path and I'm headed right to it, right? I love these people, but I'm crispy and then I don't show up well for my family, right? And I guarantee that people should be able to resonate with this sentiment. I guarantee it. It's just, it's a common situation. It's like, you can do only so much. You can only see so much one-on-one and deeply pour out before you must refill the cup, right? And so that's really a conundrum, because it's, how do you serve people without burning out, without just dramatically reducing the caseload, whatever. So we were trying to figure out, how do I refigure this to still give people great results without being burned out? And so the two questions, I remember we were like coming up with, how do I do this thing? And then she said, oh, I see the problem here. She said, it's that you don't think that XYZ thing that you're working on has value. Your only job is to come up with, if I have this person with this problem, what is the absolute best way to serve them? That's all you have to do. And it was like a light bulb went off, because I work, like, my brain likes a game, and understanding thyself is a magical thing in life. Like, I know that I thrive on understanding, like making it a game and like, let me accomplish something. Let me like hit a level. So when she did that, it unlocked something massive inside me. I was like, perfect. I know exactly how to do that. Like, if I want people to correct their food sensitivities, which is actually what I'm really, what I really care about, is like not over restricting, not enjoying life, enjoying food, and just having, just enjoying your life, the end, right? Without being all stressed out about your health and nutrition and food. If I know I want people to correct their food sensitivities without unnecessary restriction and improve their energy, which I feel like were like the main things that people were coming for underneath everything else. Like, even if you're coming from eczema, you might be coming in and saying, like, having issues around food stuff, right? So I knew I wanted to correct those things. And all I had to do was come up with like the exact way I would do that if I, someone walked in the door and had that issue. Even though there's a nuance and variables, right? Like, we talked about that last episode, like, oh, we might use stool testing, we might do this. A lot of it, you still like suss out in one-on-one, right? You come up with, what do I do based on this person? So the question was, how do I serve that person best? And then, no, that was the lens. That was really awesome. But then I added a second lens, which was, but doesn't allow us to be burned out. Because if you don't have that second piece, like, we have a very natural people-pleasing nature, because we don't want to be uncomfortable. People-pleasing is really about not feeling comfortable, being uncomfortable, which is pretty much human, the end. And so just being aware of that. So we often are trying to do what we think people want, and we're over-anticipating and being anxious about it, versus instead, like, what are they actually coming? Like, what is statistically, like, factually, when people walk in the door, what are they actually asking you for? And then also, how do you serve them best in that way? And then how do I not be burned out? So the answer to that is different for everybody. And that's fine. Like, I have come up with how we answer that question, or how I think we're answering that question, and we reconsider it all the time. So one nice thing we do is we do stop every quarter and every year, which we're on like year two of doing this, and we're in just a bazillion percent better place because of it, by stopping to think, to reevaluate, to throw crap out that doesn't matter. Because a lot of times is in, especially in entrepreneurship and as achievers and all the things, really common as you start to learn about stuff, there's a lot of shiny object syndrome. And like squirrel brain, and I think Jenna's been a real witness to that for me. And somehow she's still here. And I'm really thankful for that, because she's really grounding. Like, we are very different in a beautiful way. It's actually a very beautiful synergistic thing that I didn't even realize for a very long time. Like, it was more recently, in the last couple of years, that I was like, oh, this is really good. Mm-hmm. Thank God she fills in all these gaps and deficiencies I have.
Important to highlight, though, how even if you're maybe looking to hire and you're expanding your practice, you're not kind of looking for someone who's exactly the same as you overall.
Guess how we figured that out? I used to have this practitioner in my business who I love. Absolutely love her. And I had another person, and I don't remember what her whole role is, but she basically did virtual assistant work. And I hired her because she reminded me of myself, right? We hire people who are like ourselves. And I will say, our clients that hire us, like, when I take on one-on-one clients, they can very commonly be just like me. Which is okay. That works out fine. But in this business, one thing I learned, you know, kind of in the middle of restructuring a lot of things, the clinician that I'd hired to help out, we had some similar things, which was not a problem technically, but it just allowed me, like, I am programmed where it'd be easy for me to just like keep doing things to burn out and to work into the ground. And maybe she had some of those like similar tendencies, and it's all fine and whatever. But if you hire someone who's exactly the same as you, then you have all the same positive traits. Mm-hmm. And so if you can hire someone different, then they can fill in your deficiencies. That's the point, right? So Jen, I know you're going to ask me a question about this, right? About like, how do our differences actually create a perfect whole, I would say. So I'll give you some examples. And if I did one of my favorite exercises, which is write down what's filling my cup and what empties my cup, text responses to messages I have a ebb and flow energy ability for it. Like, I like it to an extent. But one of the most innocent things that people say that is just not true is, I have a quick question. And I was like, have you ever met me? No, it is not a quick question for me, because my brain just wants to dig into the deeper level of it. And your superficial question, okay, let me give you the dumbest example, but it works, is like, hey, how much vitamin D should I take for my blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, I'm sorry, that is not the question. The question, first of all, is, can we also talk about what would happen if you took vitamin D too long, or the downstream effects, and how it needs to be in synergy, and when it would be appropriate to take vitamin D conventionally, functionally, and when it's not appropriate to take vitamin D, et cetera, et cetera. And like, what's the indication, and maybe what's something you could do better? Do you see how I like spiral out? And that is, and if you don't like that about me, you know, whatever, right? What you get here, right? One of my favorite clients who I've known forever, I remember she wrote something somewhere one time and she said, listen to Krista's podcast. If you like the podcast, you'll probably like work with her. If you don't like the podcast, you may not, right? It was like, there you are, right? It's just, if someone asks me a simple question, for me, it's not a simple response. Unfortunately, it is a little bit of a personality flaw, and I'm okay with it. So I love to have a real conversation with someone, because then I can pick up what's useful for them. We can actually have a real conversation. I learned that. I realized this, right? As I was refiguring things. And I realized that I really prefer to talk to people. And so instead of constantly messaging people, I said, hey, I'm going to be available every single week for Q&A. If you come and talk about some of these questions, which I can answer some things in Messenger, that's fine. But sometimes it's like, there's a lot more to say here that I would love to share with you. And I would love to like get more feedback as we go. So in short, I am a dialogue person. I know that about myself. I love that about myself, and it's fine. Jenna is totally great with dialogue, but she has a tendency toward messaging, and it's great. And she likes it. It doesn't like make her feel burned out like it makes me feel burned out, because I feel like I can't say everything I want to say in a message necessarily. I mean, in transparency, I've had people misinterpret. Have you ever like sent a text message to someone and it like got misinterpreted? I've absolutely had that in practice where someone misinterpreted, because I'm a black and white gal. So I might just like answer something really quickly and move on. I'm not like really like sweet and like cheerful. And it's not intentional. It's not intentional. It's just like, I'm like, let me answer that and move on. Right. And so people have misinterpreted it that it's like not nice and cheerful. Whereas literally when Jenna writes, it's like nice and cheerful. It's just her personality. It like oozes out into her writing. It's just how it is. So she does really well with messaging stuff. And I like to talk. So to help not be burned out, when people first come into the program, they can access us both in different capacities. But at the very beginning, I might have them message Jenna with certain questions, and I might have them come to me with dialogue questions in weekly Q&A. And again, we'll meet people wherever they are. Not like a hard, fast rule on anything. It's like, we will meet people where they are. The main thing we always say is like, if you need help, ask, please. We're also going to be checking in on you, right? Because we also don't want anyone lost between the cracks. So we can make anything work, but I just try to also share with clients like, hey, this is how I really love to serve you. And this is the best way for me not to lose a question. And this is the best way. There's like the way to get the best version of me. And I just am really honest about that, because I also want people to realize that there's plenty of clinicians out there that are burned out. And so that can affect their experiences that they have with practitioners. And I will say, a couple of years ago, I mean, you heard my mineral results in 2020 were not in a good place. So before 2020, I would say like I was more burned out clinician back then. As we continue in practice, I have longer term, just friendly relationships with my clients that I maybe didn't even have prior to 2020, because I had to have such boundaries, because I just had too much right on the plate. And somehow, and we've shifted it now where it's like, we just don't have that issue and we have clear boundaries that don't feel bad at all. So. Did I cover that, do you think?
Yeah. And I think it'd be cool to cover too. So one thing we change up, or not even the cadence, but who sees who during what client call. So initially right away, we're reviewing labs. I love the details, like organizing your notes so you can I don't even know how I would describe it, just quickly interpret your labs, get the key takeaways, that sort of thing, get you started with your protocol. Whereas your strength just falls in checking in with people, highlighting those key takeaways. So I don't know if you want to add more in regards to that, but I think been very serving.
Yeah. As we talked about this in the last episode where we use mineral analysis. So most of the time, not every time, because people are in unique individuals, so we change it if we need to, but a lot of the time, the first appointment is going to be stool test. Because it makes the most sense. There's a lot of reasons for that. We are predictably know when it's going to come back, et cetera. And that's actually the first step of integrative process is correcting the imbalances. The second step is really repleting nutrients technically. So we personally do HTMA repletion second. And also there's just a lot there. And we can always like, sometimes if we have that information earlier, or I can just see between the lines and don't even need to see the text, I may start people on that support. So there's lots of ways to like make sure you're filling in gaps as soon as possible. Because remember, we like to be efficient. Like I don't like to waste any time. Let me just like attempt to get you feeling better as fast as possible. But all that to say, Jenna actually does a better job in reviewing those labs because you know what? My personality is if I've done something a zillion times, I just may not find joy in it anymore. And so I have reviewed the labs a ton of times. So I bring a lot of nice clinical expertise to the lab. So when Jenna and I round on a weekly basis about clients, and if she has any thoughts or like we riff off each other, like, hey, or we might want to just talk through one if it didn't come out the way we think, we may just like make sure we're aligned on the plan. So I have clinical expertise, but Jenna's actually going to do a better job going through the lab. And I think you'll see this. I think people have this experience with their providers. Let's pretend you go to a doctor and he sees 15 to 25 people that day. Do you think he has time to go through every detail of your lab? Absolutely not. And if he is, he's a unicorn and bless him or her, right? Like, thank God. But if you've gotten really good at doing something for so long, you may tend to mentally stop being as detailed because you feel, for me, I feel like I repeat myself. And my clients probably have heard me say that. Like sometimes in group calls, I'm like, I'm not sure if I've already told you this, or I'm not sure if I'm repeating myself because I feel a little bit repetitive sometimes, which is why I always enjoy high level questions. Like if someone has done a little bit of some work before they get, because we give people a lot of ways that they can learn stuff. Let's pretend you're a really busy person. You don't really have time to get into all the material. Whatever. We'll meet you where you are. You're going to get results. It's all fine and dandy. And then I've got some people who want to know everything. We've also got just like the perfect thing for them too. Cause like I've got the deep level stuff. So if people go through the deep level stuff, they start to ask higher quality questions. And I just mean like they already get the basics. So now they can ask fancier, higher quality questions. And I just think they get a lot more out of working together. But back to your point, I literally said to someone the other day, she was like, well, I say this all the time, actually. They're like, hey, are my blah, blah, blah results ready? And sometimes we have people who have different, they have like a follow-up HTMA for some reason. And I said, yeah, Jenna is going to do that on whatever day and she'll do a better job than I will. You know? And so what's really cool is now we're divining and conquering, which is all beautiful because now I'm not doing something that I don't enjoy as much as I used to, but I still like talking through it with her and she likes doing it. So yay. Thank goodness she likes to do that. And what I really like to do is I like to see clients about that third, fourth appointment and try to pull things together because they're doing well. But if they were seen for a GI test 3 months prior or an HTMA 2 or 3 months prior, they may not remember all the pieces there. And there's more you can pull out from that. So one thing I love to do is like go back through that, pull out the big picture pieces because I want people to understand what they're doing. I want them to understand the process that they're going through, what results are going to give them, what results, et cetera. That's how we play to our strengths by dividing and conquering. And I'm just so thankful. And I just try to remind our clients, because usually when they're coming in the door, they don't know Jenna, of course, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm usually the face of the podcast or whatever. And I talk to them first. But I try to get them, I try to get them to know Jenna right away. But once they meet her, they're always like, oh, she's so great. And this isn't it. And so it's just great for me to have someone else who can also help do some of the answering of the questions, because I want people, and it's valuable to them. It's like, guess what? And sometimes we go on vacation every once in a while, right? And so it's really nice to have someone else there who can support if someone else is on a trip or is busy or whatever. It's fine. We have a flow that is really working well for us. And now it allows us to have a really predictable cadence of how we know how many appointments we're going to usually have per month. It varies occasionally, right? But now we know that. That is very freeing because now we know. We've evaluated how many clients do I see per day before I start to get burned out. Right. Or what's my like ideal client load? And we've actually gone through that a ton. And to refer back to when you take on someone very much like you, I was seeing a whole bunch of clients per day and I thought I was doing a good job at it. And that wasn't like I thought I was fine. If you're good at like, as Jenna has said in our education materials before, running on cortisol feels good until it doesn't. You just go and everything is fine and you have a high energy attitude and you just have hours and hours of clients. And so that actually has a really high burnout rate, actually. So we've now evaluated, when is that point where we feel like more not good at the end of the day? Okay, let's try to stay under that and be careful with that because that's in best service to our clients to be here in good energy, right? And to be there fully present for them. So there's a lot, there's actually just so much that goes on behind the scenes to try to just take care of our nervous systems, of our energy, because we're really mirrors to our people, right?
And I think one thing we've also evaluated is just how often or when is like the best time to follow up with a client. So we get you on your protocol, your supplements. Well, it's going to take maybe a week for you to even get your supplements, then get started. And when are can we actually expect results? So I know every practitioner is different with this, but do you feel as though you found a sweet spot timeline in terms of when's a great time to follow up with clients?
Yes. And this also came personally with just experience. So I would shout from the rooftops that my clients have been my best educators. I actually care. I mostly only care what works for people. I really don't care about a lot of other things. I just care what works for people because all people care about is their results. Very early on in practice, I probably saw clients every week or every other week. Maybe it was every, I can't remember because I was doing different things. And I was doing food intervention, so it was like different. So there was some things around that. Like when you first do a food intervention, there's a half-life of certain immune system cells that are 10 to 14 days. So you follow up after 10 to 14 days of intervention executed. I learned through a lot of experience and literally just seeing the common denominators in client after client that once you start a GI protocol, usually you start to see GI changes and some other changes 2 to 3 weeks after they get to the full protocol. Almost always. In fact, very easy takeaway here is that 3 weeks of an effective change is usually long enough. This is why like I'm horrified when people have been on the same protocol for 6 months without any change. Like when they come in from someone else, I'm like, oh gosh, who thought this was a good idea? If something's not working, why would you just keep doing it the same way? So I find that 3 weeks is a pretty good sweet spot, 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the change. I've actually written up an entire spreadsheet for our clients to say, because expectations, clear expectations solve a lot of problems. Pretty much the end. Like the only reason people ever get annoyed is like unclear, like they have a mismatch of expectations on reality. And so to solve that problem, I've like created a whole thing where it's like, this is usually when you would see these changes. This is usually when you see this changes. Here are the exceptions to that rule. And so it gives them a little bit more of a mathematical evaluation so that they can also feel good. And sometimes people come in, just last week, someone's like, hey, can you let me know where I am on this timeline? I was like, you are fine. And I went, obviously the answer was 1,000 times longer than that. But I went through a lot of variability in her case and said, don't worry, I will let you know if you're off timeline. I am very interested in it. You can detach from the timeline. I will stay on top of your timeline. But all that to say, what is the right interval? Usually 2 to 3 weeks for an intervention to see the change. But like you said, it can take people a while to get supplements. Now we've been able to expand to support several countries internationally, which is, it's hard to be honest. It's more challenging for us. And that's why we didn't do it for a long time. And we didn't have the ability. We didn't have the things. Now things are getting easier to get to people, but you still deal with shipping stuff. We are following at 1 month intervals. Typically, me personally, if people get to 6 weeks, I'm like, there is way too many changes. Mm-hmm. It's too long for me. I don't like it. But every client is different. And some people are really on top of getting their stuff and getting onboarded and some are not. And we don't penalize people. We just say, okay, well, this is normally when we'd see these changes, or we'll just try to support them. Again, we just try to meet people wherever they are. So we do 1 month intervals. Sometimes I think 3 weeks would be even better. And then sometimes Jenna schedules it at 5 weeks because we know we base it around when are we going to have this lab back to review and that. And we try to just set up all of those expectations again before it's like, here's what we're trying to get to before the next appointment. Because in our one-on-one appointments, we don't just do like education stuff. We're usually changing the intervention. We're changing the thing. So it's basically, when can you change the thing so we can see the next level of intervention and change, right? And what's a normal time for us to be able to follow up to see those changes? So I attempt to put into our notes as much as possible. Here's when you can probably expect to see a change from them, right? And there's variables, right? If you're super depleted, it can vary it.
I'm going to add even what I've found to be a game changer when we're talking about like seeing clients, prepping notes. This is out of left field, but just having something as basic as note templates, or I have like this protocol reference document, like saves you so much time in terms of prep. So even that little factor, even those little things that you do over and over can be huge for just preventing the burnout of typing up the same thing over and over again overall.
And what's wonderful, so Jenna's a very good, again, she just has her own strengths. And I remember, this reminds me of when you were like, can we write this down? Because I was shooting from like my brain all the time. I was like, well, I feel like using this for this person. And this feels like this would work really well. And she's like, can we write this down so I can utilize this or like have your brain on some paper or those things? So it's like, yeah, for this type of case, this and this might work really nicely or whatever. And there's a lot of variables there, but I appreciate that she's done a really good job on data collection and data mining so that it makes her life easier and then my life easier. Because I mean, for sure, I get sick of typing out the same crap. And then I'm like, wait a second, I've typed this out like 10 times in the last couple of weeks. Like, we need to like write it down and I need to be able to copy paste it and then edit it because it can be a lot of stuff I have to write out. And then that just, I want to have more time to talk to the person, not writing a bunch of crap out.
And I think people can misinterpret that as that, oh, then it's this cookie cutter protocol you're sharing with everyone. No, we are completely like customizing everything, but it's just that, again, that same thing you would type up over and over.
For example, there's a thing that's like under supplements and it's like generally start a dose and a different product daily, you know, one at a time, generally, right? Like, and then go up to full dose. Because if you just throw everything all in at once, so chaos can ensue. And so every single person needs to know that. So that, yes, is in a template, but protocol-wise, it's like there's a mix and match of things, regardless. So definitely still customize because like different things for different markers. And then it's always a game of what's the minimum of things I can put you on that gives us the maximum results. It's the game. It's the game. And I enjoy the game. So here we are doing the game. So,
well, I feel that sums up everything we're going to talk about at least today. But I feel honestly, this could have like a part two or even not even diving into the aspect of as a practitioner. We find it so important to support our own nervous systems, but then also to support the client's nervous system to see progress and they can have, yeah, just sooner successes is ultimately what we've been seeing.
Yeah. I will offer a couple of moments about that just a little bit. I would say, so big picture, we want to impact people's immune systems because people want to reduce their inflammation in a variety of ways that may express like skin issues. It may express like gut issues. It may express like fluctuating inflammatory waterway. It may look like low energy, right? Those are signs of some signs of inflammation, right? So if you want to improve inflammation, you need to improve the immune system. If you want to improve the immune system, you need to improve the things that talk to the immune system. There's lots of things that talk to the immune system or that inform, I like to say inform the immune system. But the two major arms we spend a lot of space in is one half of the arm is nervous system and the other half is nutrition. And underneath the nutrition umbrella is gut imbalances and toxic burden and nutrient repletion and all that. But the other piece is the nervous system. So we start that conversation immediately with clients. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You can totally reduce food sensitivities by just doing nervous system stuff first. I occasionally, every once in a while, I meet someone and I don't take them. I'm like, I want you to start doing it. You go do this. And then you can come back if you want. And I've had people email me like, I am a lot better. Thank you for saying, thank you for forcing me, like not allowing me to step into this place. So we do that. And then one thing I did about a year ago, and I'll just talk about this really briefly, and that could be part of follow-up. We could do a whole episode on nervous system stuff we do with clients and why we do that. Because there's going to be more to come 100%. One thing I do is have guests come in, but I decided to, I really like facilitating breath work for my clients, and you might have your own connotations around. I got tricked into doing breath work at an entrepreneur retreat one time. And the beautiful thing about it is it allows you to be the own expert here. And I think I hope this came into play here, that's part of how we don't get burned out. It's like allowing us to go introspectively and like actually ask good questions of self. And so breath work, the type of breath work I'm doing has a little bit of good questions and there's music and there's a lot to say here. So I love doing this because for my clients that show up and do it, they're really enjoying it. It's a somatic practice that affects the feelings in their body and their nervous system, and the nervous system is informing the immune system. So anyway, lots more to say about that, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be a different type of clinician for the clients. It's fun. It's a very different hat to wear, a very different seat to sit in, and it feels really beautiful. It feels really great. It feels really, I want to just share, I had a client a few weeks ago, and she said she went to the first session. She came in and she'd done breath work before, and she said, she wasn't really expecting anything, which is perfect. Come in without expectation of yourself, right? But just be open. And she came in and she had this takeaway that she really felt like she needed to work on a relationship with someone in her family. And she wanted to go on retreat with this person in the family. And then I saw her a few weeks later and she said, I couldn't find a proper retreat, so I created one. And so today I'm coming to breathwork to help me get insight on this event that I've created. And I'm like, yes, I'm so happy. Like it's just really cool because it's a very different outcome and it's just very fun. So another day, Jenna, we will talk about nervous system modalities, how they came to be in the less stressed life, nutrition practice, and the results we see from it. And they're only going to just keep being added to. So I'm excited about that. And I think that's something that's pretty cool for us is we have meetings, we talk about things, but we really care. We're really just open to having a vision and a big picture mission, moving toward that and constantly asking, is this even serving the client? Is this serving the mission? Is it serving the greater vision? And we're both just really open to like what the future holds, and we don't have to have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. And that's really a cool place that feels really good for a system. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for being a part of this and for asking me these questions today. Anything else you want to?
I don't think so.
All right. Thanks so much.
Sharing and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help us succeed with our mission to help integrate the best of East and West and empower you to raise the bar on your health story. Just go to reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. That's reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. And you'll be taken directly to a page where you can insert your review and hit post.